From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the sixth day of May, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, will there be a new climate change bill by the end of the year? California Representative Henry Waxman says so. And U.S. EPA's new low-carbon emission rules include a couple of important numbers for ethanol, 16 and 60%. Both are related to indirect land use. Dave Dickey will tell us about those numbers and oh so much more in a few moments. And then as we close out this half-hour program, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. He'll help us take a look at the agricultural weather forecast as we finish up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on a Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby May wheat at 547 and three quarters, up 6 1/4. July at 558 and three quarters, 5 1/4 higher. September at $5.85 and a half, up 5 1/4. And December futures at $6.08 and a quarter, up 5 1/2 cents. In Kansas City, the hard red winter wheat finished the July harvest month 8 1/4 higher at $6.07. Back in Chicago, nearby May corn futures today, a $4.75 settlement price, up 2 1/4. July at $4.07 and a half, up 2 1/4, and September at $4.16, 1 3/4 higher. December futures, the harvest month, at $4.26 and 3/4, up 1 3/4. March contract of 2010 in the corn pit at $4.39 and a quarter, up 1 3/4. May oat futures today, 3 3/4 higher at $2.03. Soy complex now, May beans, $11.35. The lead option settled 19 cents higher. July at $11.18, up 17. August, $10.77, 15 and a higher, and September futures at $10.23, up 16. November beans at $9.78, up 17 and a half. That August up 15 and a half, by the way. Bean meal futures at $3.59, up 50 cents in the May, and the May oil up 96 at $38.65. And the numbers from the Mercantile Exchange settled today mostly higher on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like on the afternoon. Nearby July crude oil, rather June crude oil futures at $56.34 a barrel. A settlement price up $2.50. July at $57.59, up $2.15. June ethanol at $1.65. A settlement price there up 1 9/10. Ethanol July contract at $1.64 and 7 cents. Up 9 tenths. Natural gas at $3.88 and 6 tenths, 27 1/10 higher. The RBOB gasoline at $1.62 and 3 tenths, 5 cents higher on the afternoon. Heating oil June contract $1.47, up 4 3/10. June propane at $66 1/10, it's just about 7 tenths lower. And the gold futures at $910.50 on their settlement price, $6.80 higher on the day. The Dow now stands at 85.05. That's up just a bit more than 95 points. And the U.S. dollar at 83.80 is down 0.35 for the day. The CRB index at 237.19, up 5.31 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. In northern and western Illinois and northwestern Indiana, should be cloudy, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy with a few scattered showers. Lows between 52 in the north to near 60 in the far southern parts of Illinois this evening. Tomorrow in the northern and central parts of Illinois, a mix of clouds, some sunshine, a few isolated storms. In Indiana and southern Illinois, mostly cloudy, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Highs tomorrow will range from 72 in the north to 80 in the far south. The extended forecast says widely scattered showers will continue across much of Illinois and Indiana tomorrow night through Friday night, with generally light amounts expected in the northern and central sections. In the south, periods of steady rain will keep producers out of the fields. We'll talk with Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. That'll happen as we close out this edition of the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is Wednesday afternoon. We always talk with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, and he's on the line with us on this Wednesday. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd. We had a little drizzle, fizzle here on the east side of the state for some of those listeners in the northern part of the state that missed out on the rain. It's damp here in Oakland, Illinois.
Damp and, I suspect, wet enough underneath that you don't really have anybody moving just yet, but maybe so.
Well, we had some people when I was going to work this morning at 5 o'clock. I saw some people pulling their spray tanks around and were spraying or going to be spraying by the time the sun up came in. And a couple came in the office and said they had sprayed maybe 60 or 100 acres.
How's the Cooley Farm, comparatively speaking, this year to previous ones?
Well, I think we're ready, set, go. We're doing some drainage work and some tiling and getting ready, set, go. I would say nothing planted yet, but we're ready, set, go.
All right. Well, I asked that question because I'm done.
Well, good.
I'm done, but that was only 11 acres, and it's up and running. And it was planted about 12 days ago, I guess. So I talked to Dad last night, and he's in Logan County, of course. And they were part of that crew, I think, a couple of weeks ago. Ellen Dearden reported that Logan and Renard County in central Illinois near Springfield were moving in. My family was one of those crew. But they've got more corn to plant, and there's a lot of corn left to plant. And in Chicago, futures for both corn and beans were higher. Which one led the crew?
Well, I think it was soybeans. Soybean oil overnight was strong. Malaysian palm oil was strong. And, of course, this rally in old crop beans with the smaller crop in South America, the general demand for old crop beans and 2 and 3 hour lines at some of the soybean processors or as people truck $10-plus soybeans into the marketplace.
How do you view the marketplace in the next 2 weeks?
Well, good question. You know, we did talk on Commodity Week about the debate on acres and a couple of additional ideas. You know, the crop insurance, $9 beans, the weather. Inform is going to come out on Friday with their new acreage guess. I think there's more acres to beans, maybe less acres to corn. But I think the bottom line is I think the government in their June survey will find more acres total. The bean market continues to look at what if there's not any acres, extra acres, then the demand will continue. It does show up that no fertilizer, lack of rainfall, the crop got smaller in South America. And we know that there is a lack of capital in that part of the world. You know, they haven't made some machinery payments. They haven't made enough fertilizer payments. A lack of rainfall and the yield dropped, and they're basically selling out of soybeans at a rapid pace.
Well, tell me, which is having more of an impact, the idea that bean acres in the United States might be, are you telling me they might be fewer than
well,
we expected?
Well, I think that last year's.
Okay,
you see,
so
the
impact
acres,
really.
The government mysteriously lost 7 million acres, and I'm basically saying, not so quick, because crop insurance and lower fertilizer costs and the $9 bean is a very strong incentive to find acres out there. And we know from past experience this insurance program does create additional planted acres because farmers plant for insurance in some areas.
All right. So really what you're telling me is that we've got a short crop in South America, at least in Argentina, continues to get smaller and seems that it may still continue
and
to get smaller.
And Brazil as well.
And Brazil for a while. We have more acres maybe available than what USDA had said in their March report. That would say that nearby beans or old crop beans should climb higher, but the deferreds might not follow suit.
That's a guess, and that's my opinion, yes.
Yeah. Okay, and then what do you do at this point?
The livestock industry is also, you know, not the big demand center. And, of course, we do have some wonderful products called lysine that can be substituted for protein and things like that in, from the corn industry. I think, what do you do? Well, spoon feed the old crop beans and spoon feed the new crop beans. And we really won't know this bigger acreage until more is planted. The weather seems to be a little better this morning. It'll be interesting to see what happens on the overnight forecast. Number two is $9 plus beans times 50 to 60 bushels an acre is a pretty good return, particularly if we do find more acres. If we don't, then you sold some beans a little cheap.
Well, let's talk about new crop sales. Spoon feed the old crop. You're gonna say spoon feed the new crop. Are you willing seller at what
$9 on all the way up to $10? You know, I think a person should get beans sold and protected to some extent because as I mentioned, the livestock industry is has taken a big beating. The good thing, though, is the market's got a different tone than it did at the Beef House March Outlook meeting, and the stock market's a lot better. The dollar is weaker. The crude oil market's a lot better. The financial condition of the United States is a lot better today than it was in March, and that's also helping corn, soybean, and wheat prices, and heck, the stock market as well.
So you're basically telling me that the domestic price, based off some of the livestock and the slowdown in that industry, will be a little hard-pressed to pick up as fast as some might think it would, but the grind in ethanol should pick up fairly quickly.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, after the smoke cleared yesterday, the announcement by the EPA,
right,
in my personal opinion, was neutral to positive for the ethanol industry.
Is there anything else that we ought to go through before I let you go for the day?
Well, have a profitable day. And, of course, the big deal is that we still have a big corn carryover, and we need to spoon feed that at $4 plus in the next few weeks.
All right. Thank you very much, Paul.
Have a profitable day.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Hey, as you get busy in the field, and if you happen to miss the broadcast, and I know you're probably not going to get to the web in the evening because you'll be looking for sleep, and that's probably the better part of the thing you need to do, how about picking up the cell phone and dialing this number, 217-333-3434. We post at 10:15 and 3:15 daily a bit of our analysis segments and some of the numbers. That's at 217-333-3434. Here to serve agriculture and the commodity markets to you. Dave Dickey is here. He'll take us all the way through the Ag News for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, the chairman of a key committee in the U.S. House of Representatives says he is determined to have a new climate change bill passed by the end of this year. Representative Henry Waxman says that the House Energy and Commerce Committee, which he chairs, is on track to finish its work on the bill by the end of May, which would advance it to other committees and potentially move it toward a vote in the full legislative body later this year. The bill, which would require U.S. industry to reduce its emissions of greenhouse gases, such as carbon dioxide, is crucial to the U.S. position in international talks on global warming due to take place in December. Waxman says one of the most controversial aspects of the bill, a cap-and-trade system that would put limits on the greenhouse gas emissions allowed from big industries, is being designed with consumers in mind. two different numbers have caught the ethanol industry's eye when it comes to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's proposed low carbon emissions rules, 16% and 60%. EPA's proposed rules released yesterday include international indirect land use effects from corn-based ethanol production that would give the biofuel a 16% advantage versus fossil fuels in reducing greenhouse gases, still below the minimum 20% EPA proposes for corn-based ethanol. Representatives from the Renewable Fuels Association and Growth Energy said in two separate news conferences yesterday that they believe a fair look at the science will show ethanol's advantage to fossil fuels is closer to 60%. The Obama administration tomorrow will send Congress its detailed budget request for fiscal year 2010. That, according to Peter Orszag, director of the White House Office of Management and Budget. Orszag says that the office will also release a separate document that details the programs the administration is proposing to eliminate or scale back. Monsanto says it has filed suit against chemical maker DuPont alleging unlawful use of Monsanto's proprietary Roundup Ready herbicide-tolerant technologies in soybeans and corn. DuPont responded by accusing Monsanto of trying to deny access to alternative technologies at a time when farmers are struggling with weeds that are increasingly resistant to current Monsanto products. Monsanto says that its suit was filed on Monday in federal court in St. Louis against DuPont and its subsidiary, Pioneer Hybrid International Incorporated. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. While you're there, you can listen to this program again, to Commodity Week, other agricultural programming, including the opening and pre-opening market reports, and you can hear the agricultural weather forecast. It's all at willag.org, willag.org. While you're there, don't forget to sign up for our free weekend newsletter. Just hit subscribe. It's all at willag.org. Now, up next, the price of corn in Chicago seems to be just about right, given the fundamental factors in the world today. We'll hear why from University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Darrell Good. The price of December corn futures at the CME Group's Chicago Board of Trade is struggling mightily. There just aren't very many reasons yet for new crop corn prices to spike higher, says University of Illinois Extension's Darrell Good.
We've not seen a lot of strength in new crop corn prices, which suggests that the market is, at this juncture, not overly concerned about supply. And I hypothesize that part of that is that we kind of dodged a bullet last year in many areas with flooding and replanting and ended up with an awfully large crop. So I think the market is a little slower to get concerned this year.
The U of I ag economist believes, so far, that the market is right to dismiss the delayed corn planting season in the eastern Corn Belt, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, and Wisconsin. This is swiftly changing.
I think as we look at the forecast, which suggests that we're going to continue to see episodes of precipitation on already soggy fields in the eastern Corn Belt, and now we may be pushing a fair amount of the crop being planted after the middle of May, which suggests that we probably are reducing yield potential to some extent. If we can get the crop planted in May, I don't think there will be a huge acreage shift. I think producers historically have stayed with corn right through the month of May, but it puts a lot of pressure now on the summer growing season, say that we need a repeat of last year where we had almost a perfect July, so that the crop can recover a bit from the effects of late planting.
Well, a perfect July means rainfall and not so much heat. That's a pretty tall order in the Midwest. University of Illinois agronomist Emerson Nafziger has recalculated average daily bushels lost due to delayed planting based on 4 years' worth of recent data. It shows a bushel per acre day lost for each of the first 10 days of May that corn is not planted in Illinois, a bushel and a half lost for each day between May 11th and the 20th, and 2 bushels per acre per day for each of the last 10 days in May. If that happens, July will definitely need to be perfect. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural cash grain markets. With us this afternoon, Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Don.
Anybody moving there?
We were moving until probably about 2 hours ago. It started raining here, but I bet about we probably had 80% of the guys running by mid-afternoon yesterday, and so and they worked till mid-afternoon today, so they probably got about a day's work in here this week so far.
Probably made them at least a little happier than they had been previously, I would think.
Yeah, we're guessing maybe 20% of the corn is in the ground in our area now, so they're starting to feel a little better about it.
I'm feeling a little better and less talk about switch to beans?
Exactly. Most guys, it looks like next week we're going to get another couple-day window at the minimal. So, you know, they're feeling more and more comfortable that we can get this corn in by the middle of May.
Anybody still calling about potential $4 corn?
You know, we actually had some guys trickle some stuff here lately. I think it's more of a function that they see the weather. They see there's going to be a couple days of rainy weather, and they still have a decent amount of corn to move. And so logistically, it just makes sense for them to move some corn here while they have aren't in the fields.
Is your basis starting to show the idea that they're in the field?
Yeah, I mean, when we basically in the last week when we rolled against the July, so since the last time we talked, we saw basis kind of firm up here. Climbers has been pretty steady, but some other processors have been a little more volatile. They firmed up quite a bit here at the end of last week, and then once we saw a little board rally last week and then the wetter weather, they've started to fade off here a little bit. And I think basis is going to be probably about as volatile as the futures market here, at least in the short term, as we see both weather and the futures market affecting flows here.
I suspect that the soybean basis has been fairly firm.
It has been. You know, a train shipper there at Delphi is paying overs, and small overs, and the processors will pay anywhere, you know, 15 to 20 over for producer bushels.
Many takers on that?
You know, we actually had a lot of takers that took advantage of flat prices when we got to $10 and $10.50. So there's not really a lot of producer beans out there, but there's some trickling in at that $11 period.
And your bids for the day?
Yeah, Climbers corn finished the day at 4.02, Delphi beans at 11.20.
Thanks much.
Thank you, Todd.
Matt Blaisdell is with the Andersons out of Delphi, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Back in 2 minutes when we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lerner Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
It's National Crepe Suzette Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1833, Illinois blacksmith John Deere developed the first cast steel plow. Deere's plow was made of wrought iron and had a steel share that could cut through sticky soil without clogging. Deere's first steel plow sale was to a local farmer named Lewis Crandall. It wasn't long, though, before the plow was in huge demand. By 1855, John Deere's factory was selling over 10,000 steel plows a year. The steel plow made Deere a millionaire. In 1851, John Gorey patented an ice-making machine, the first U.S. patent for a mechanical refrigerator. Although the mechanism produced ice in quantities, leakage and irregular performance sometimes impaired its operation. Lori is considered by many the father of refrigeration and air conditioning. And in 1898, Daniel Gerber of baby food fame was born. But it was actually his wife, Dorothy, that was the genius behind prepared baby food. In 1927, she encouraged her husband to hand strain solid food for her 7-month-old daughter, Sally. After several evenings, Dorothy suggested to her husband that the work could easily be accomplished at the Gerber family's Fremont Canning Company. The rest is history. A year later, in 1928, strained peas, prunes, carrots, spinach, and beef vegetable soup were ready for the national market. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon, and we always talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Afternoon, Todd.
I see by the radar that there is spotty rainfall across the Midwest, or at least portions of the eastern Corn Belt, and Des Moines even has a little bit of rainfall in it at some point during the day. Tell me about that and how widespread it might be.
Well, it actually, up to this point, it's been rather sporadic across the Midwest, and I think we're probably going to see that continue as we go through this next couple of days. So there's definitely going to be showers around fairly often in different portions of the Midwest, and if we put it all together and summarized it from now through Saturday, we probably would see coverage up around 85 or 90%. So most areas are going to get rain at some point or another. But I don't think it's just going to be rain for everybody all week long. And I think we're still going to manage to firm up the soil in a few locations and get a little bit of field work done. But we're certainly not going to see any kind of aggressive field work in this pattern. The shower activity is kind of occurring in response to a lot of very small disturbances in the atmosphere that are moving one right after the other across the region. And we still have that cool air still around in the northern part of the country while the south is trying to warm up. And this is just creating a little battleground across the region, and these air masses are doing a lot of fighting. Fortunately, there's not a lot of volume in the rain across the heart of the Midwest right now. All the heavy stuff is down in the Delta. Northern Delta, including southern Missouri and parts of northern Arkansas into the Tennessee River Basin. Those areas are going to end up seeing some more hefty amounts of rainfall over the next several days. But in the heart of the Midwest, we're just going to have to deal with some aggravating showers for a while, and that's certainly going to still work against us in getting some of this field work done.
A tenth or two, less than a half an inch for the most part, or are there places where we might get more?
Yeah, I think there will be some areas that get a little bit more than that. I'm looking for a few hundredths of an inch to about 3/4 of an inch over the whole of this next 4-day period. I'd say the majority, probably, let's say about 65% of the Midwest will probably see amounts that are not more than about 0.4 of an inch for the whole period, and a lot of amounts probably around 2 or 3 tenths of an inch. But that rest of the region, it could end up with some amounts that could go 0.75 to 1 inch. And the further south you are in Illinois and Indiana, the greater those rains will be. I think those will be the wetter areas.
So slowed movement maybe through the 15th of May by the time things get dried back out, if we have dry weather in the weekend and beyond. Is that the case?
There is hope here. We do have a ridge of high pressure that is expected to build up across the Midwest, especially the eastern half of the Midwest, as we go into next week. And that ridge, at this point in time, should do a really good job in blocking the next storm system from moving across the Mississippi River Valley, at least delaying its arrival, let's put it that way. We should see some temperatures in the 70s and lower 80s for a 2 or 3 day period ahead of that storm system, and that will help to firm the ground up a little bit. The longer we can get this high pressure system to prevail, the better it's going to be, obviously, for getting some field work done. My concern is that the ridge will break down just about the time when everybody wants to go like gangbusters getting the field work done, and we're end up being set back again. So I fully expect to see progress made, but it's a little questionable just how well we'll be able to get out there and work those fields. But Certainly starting next week, we'll see warmer temperatures and less precipitation east of the Mississippi.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. I'm Todd Gleason.